And well, today, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2 is where we are this morning. Verses 19 through 21. Galatians 2, verses 19 through 21. We're going to be talking about the trial of faith. Well, we've been talking about faith alone in Christ. So last week we spoke about the nature of saving faith. This morning, I want to speak about the trial of faith and what it means to live by faith in Jesus Christ. How we know that we're living by faith. Because the Christian life is certainly one great trial of faith. And faith is the key to the Christian life. We're not only saved by faith in Christ, but we're also to live by faith. Daily, we're to live by faith in Christ. Living by faith is the hallmark of the Christian life. Just as gold is the most precious among all metals, so faith is among all the graces. It is the conquering grace on earth. It is the vital artery of the soul. Faith in Christ not only unites us to God, but purifies our hearts. It directs our life. It enlivens our graces, and it sanctifies our virtues. So we must live by faith. Faith is the source of love, the engine of repentance, the ground of patience, as well as the basis and inspiration of our hope. William Perkins once wrote, "Saving faith in Jesus Christ is the key to heaven and the first and vital principle of the Christian life." Being the first and vital principle of the Christian life, then, we must know what it means to live by faith. Because being a vital principle, it is a living principle. By faith in Christ, we live unto God. Paul, therefore, says here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 19 through 21, he says, "I, through the law, died to the law that I might live unto God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul says that we are to live by faith in Christ, the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Now, notice closely Paul's declaration here, because this is not only a doctrinal statement of what it means to live by faith in Christ, but it's also Paul's personal confession of faith. It's a personal confession. He says, "I died to the law that I might live unto God. I died to the law that I might live unto God by faith in Jesus Christ." Now, Paul's saying here that his hope and confidence before God is not his own works. It's not the law, but the saving work of Jesus Christ, the grace of God that opened his heart to the truth of the gospel. We're to trust in God. We're to live by faith in Christ, knowing that we're saved by grace and that we're not saved by works. And that's the joy and the confidence, as well as our confession of Christ and our life and salvation, because he loved us and gave himself for us at the cross. So now we can live by faith through him and in him. Now notice here, in Paul's own personal testimony, he gives us an excellent description of what it means to live by faith. And everything here is personal and triumphant and points us to the grace of God and the saving work of Jesus Christ. But importantly, what it means to live by faith. And so there are 7 points we want to look at here this morning, which together shows us the nature and ground of living by faith in Jesus Christ. The nature and ground of living by faith. What it means to live by faith in Christ. Notice, first of all, there is a profession of faith. Notice Paul says here in his confession of faith, living by faith in Christ means, first of all, confessing your faith in him. Testifying of the grace of God. No one lives by faith in Christ but those who confess their faith in Christ. You see, throughout the first 2 chapters of Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul is describing how he was brought to faith, how he came to understand the gospel of grace. Paul was once a scribe, a Pharisee, who trusted in the law and his own good works to save him. And the Lord opened his heart to the truth, revealed him on a vision on the road to Damascus, and opened his heart to the truth of the gospel. And Paul came to see how deceived he was by false religion, by Judaism, and how the law could not save him, but only brought condemnation. And therefore salvation was, he came to see through grace, through faith in Christ. Christ alone could save him from his sin and from the condemning power of the law. And that's what he describes here. In fact, in Acts chapter 9, Luke records that event in wonderful detail, in which the Lord appeared to him in a vision of blinding light. And the Lord said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I am Jesus, I am the Lord. It is hard for you to kick against the goads, Luke records. Did Jesus blinded Paul on the road to Damascus when he went persecuting the church? And he was brought to faith when the Lord revealed himself to him. Paul was blinded for a time, but he was saved. And he went from being a persecutor of the church to being a great apostle and teacher of the church, preaching the grace of God and Christ crucified. And so Paul writes in verse 15 and following, notice he says, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners. Is Christ therefore the minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again the things that I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And then Paul goes on to say, I through the law died to the law, that I might live unto God. I've been crucified with Christ. Notice Paul is here in Galatians giving his confession, his testimony. The gospel that Christ gave to him that was revealed to him, that opened his heart. And Paul is saying that we're justified by faith alone in Christ and not by the works of the law. And therefore, the only ground of living by faith is trusting in Christ's saving work and not by the works of the law. That's the first step, right? Making a profession of faith in Christ, confessing Him, recognizing that Jesus Christ is the Savior. To live by faith in Christ, we must believe in Christ. In Christ alone, we must put our faith and put our confession in Christ. We don't put our trust in the law because the law only can condemn us. God demands a perfect satisfaction for sin, and that satisfaction for sin is found in Christ Jesus alone. Now, this is the basis for the Christian life. That is the beginning and the open door of living by faith in Christ. It's confessing your faith in Christ, confessing your faith in His righteousness alone. Those who confess Christ alone to be their righteousness truly live unto God, truly live by faith. Now, the tragedy is there are a lot of people in the world that just say they live the Christian life, but they don't have faith in Christ. They don't confess their faith in Christ. They confess their faith in their good works. They confess their faith in rituals and traditions, but not in Christ. Faith alone in Christ justifies us before God, and faith alone in Christ is the door to living unto God, to living by faith. It is the entrance to the Christian life. No one lives by faith in Christ, but those who are justified by faith in Christ, right? Everything we do in Christian life is a result of believing in Christ and putting our faith in Him. Faith is the foundation from which all other graces flow. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to love God, impossible to obey God, and it is impossible to glorify or enjoy God. But to be putting our faith in Jesus Christ alone. In John chapter 20, verse 31, the apostle says, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in His name. We have life in the name of Christ when we put our faith in Him. Those who believe in Christ have life in His name. You see, it's a fundamental point that Paul is saying here by his personal testimony. He thought that he was living unto God, but he was living under the bondage of false religion, the delusion that the law and his own works and his own rituals and the fact that he was a scribe and a Pharisee of the highest standard and order, he thought that was enough, that that would save him. And Christ had to reveal to him, no, you're a sinner, you're undone, your works can only destroy you. It is Christ alone. And therefore, Paul put his faith, and that's why we have this wonderful confession in Galatians chapter 1 and 2. Martin Luther said this, you cannot live the Christian life nor imitate Christ and truly follow His example until you renounce your own self-righteousness and trust in His righteousness alone for salvation. Living the Christian life begins with putting our faith in Christ. As the hymn says, Jesus, I live to Thee, the loveliest and best. My life in Thee, Thy life in me, by faith alone I rest. And so notice, secondly, the prerequisite of living by faith. Notice Paul says in verse 19, he says, for I through the law died to the law that I might live unto God. Now notice the very striking phrase here. Paul says here that he died to the law through the law in order that he might live to God through Jesus Christ. How did that happen? It was when he was converted. When he came to faith in Christ, he died to sin and to the condemning power of the law and was raised to spiritual life in and through Jesus Christ. The old man was put to death, the body of sin was destroyed, and he was made alive. He was made alive through Jesus Christ. And so he explains here in language and terminology as it relates to his relation to the law. He died to the law through the law. Right? I have been crucified with Christ, he says. Now, this is a foundation and prerequisite of living by faith in Christ, to be dead to the law as a means of salvation, and to be united to Christ by the Holy Spirit in his death and resurrection. Right? Now, the law is a rule of life, obedience, but it is not the way to obtain salvation, Paul says. And so he says, I died to the law through the law. Paul is saying that in coming to faith in Christ, he no longer sees the law as a means of obtaining redemption and forgiveness from God. There's no way. The law cannot save us. Only Christ can save us by renewing our hearts by his grace and making us see that faith in his death and resurrection is the way to live the Christian life. It is the way to live unto God. Right? And in order to live by faith, we need to see that we cannot be saved by the law. Why? Because by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law condemns sin. Faith in Christ means, therefore, being dead to the law. I, through the law, Paul says, died to the law, that I might live unto God. Right? To die to the law means to be delivered from its dominion, to be delivered from its condemning power, so that we have no confidence in the law as a way of life. There is no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. We don't trust in the law. We trust in Christ. To die to the law means you're delivered from the deceit of believing that you can be saved by your own works. How many people are under the law today and think that they're going to be saved by their good works? Right? No. But in dying to the law, we live unto God. We believe in Christ because the law cannot bring salvation. It can only pronounce a curse upon those who disobey it or who do not obey it perfectly. In Galatians 3:21, Paul says, if there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. You see, the law cannot give life. It is weak through the flesh. But what the law could not do, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin, satisfied the law. And therefore, when we put our faith in Christ, we live unto God. And we die not only to sin, but to the law. And so Paul says here, when he was converted to Christ, he died to that foolish and false idea of ever thinking that he could obtain righteousness from the law. Right? He died to the law. Now, this is very profound, but it is really important to understand, because there are sadly thousands of religious people in the world today who are deceived by false religion and think that their standing before God is determined by other works. That they have to perform this many good works in order to get to heaven. And the law only condemns, because the law demands perfect righteousness. Right? And so Paul says, when I came to faith in Christ, I died to the law. Right? Through the law. Beloved, this is the false teaching not only of Jews and Muslims, cults and false religions, but as well as Roman Catholicism and multiple others that think that they're going to obtain salvation by what? By obedience. Good works. By the law. And the law was not given to give life. The law is a rule and a pattern of obedience for those that are saved, but does not bring us to salvation. Right? It is not the way to life. We must die to the law through the law in order to live by faith. Right? Christ came to satisfy the law. That's a prerequisite. Right? But notice thirdly, the passion of faith, living by faith. Notice thirdly, Paul says, I, through the law, died to the law that I might live unto God. I have been crucified with Christ. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Faith in Christ, living by faith in Christ, means being crucified with him. What is he saying here? Well, certainly Paul wasn't literally crucified with Jesus. He wasn't one of the thieves on the cross. He wasn't literally there. He was nowhere there. Paul is explaining once again what it means to live by faith. He's further explaining also in what way he died to the law. How did he die to the law? He was crucified with Christ. It was through the cross of Christ. To be dead to the law means that we're united to Christ in his death and resurrection. The handwriting of the law which was against us, Christ nailed to the cross. He paid the price for us. And so being crucified with him, we're freed from the curse, the guilt of the law, and we're made alive unto God by the Spirit. Right? The old things are passed away. The debt of sin is paid in full because Christ was nailed to the cross. And by faith, we're united to him in all that he did. Everything that Christ did in his life of obedience and his sacrifice on the cross, all that is given to us. All of his merit, all of his grace. And therefore, Paul says here, I have been crucified with him. That's a striking phrase. Right? But all those who believe in Christ were united to him together at his death and resurrection. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 through 14. He says in a similar way, he says, "Hey, you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has now made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." You see, our debt was paid at the cross. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross and was raised for our justification. When we come to faith in Christ, we die to sin and we rise to newness of life because Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead. We have a true spiritual union and communion with Jesus Christ and all that he did for us. We were there, mystically, right? As his people. Because Christ is our head and representative, and all that he did in his life and death and resurrection is given to us. He stood as the surety or the mediator of the covenant of grace, of our salvation. He stood in the place of all of his people. And therefore, when he was crucified, all those who were in him were crucified with him, in him. And so receive all the merits of his death and resurrection, all the blessings of his grace that pours to us through the cross. That's why Paul can say, I have been crucified with Christ. Because in the conversion of a sinner to Christ, there is a real communication of the graces, the merits of Jesus Christ to those who believe. A real union and communion where every believer is made one in Christ. And what Christ has done is given to them. We have been crucified with Christ and risen again with him. Listen to what James Ferguson wrote. He says, "As Jesus Christ did die a most shameful, painful, and cursed death upon the cross, so in his dying he did stand as a public person in the room and place of all the elect, for he was their surety or mediator. And he died for them, so that when they lay hold upon him by faith and thereby are made one with him, the cross and passion of Christ, as to all those benefits which were purchased by it, whether in order to the removal of the guilt of sin, or to the subduing of its strength and quickening them in the way of holiness, or to the purchasing of life eternal for them, is as verily made theirs, as if they had been crucified in their own persons." We were with him. That's why Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ." Right? The work of the Holy Spirit in salvation is therefore represented in Scripture as a dying and rising with Christ. We have died to sin and we have risen to newness of life when we put our faith in Christ. That's why the cross and the passion of Christ is so central to the Christian life. It's not just wearing the cross around our necks that is important. It is having the cross written on our hearts and lives. We've died to sin through the cross, right? That's why Paul says, "I've been crucified. I've been crucified with him. I died to sin with him, and I've risen again." Now notice, fourthly, the power of living by faith. Paul goes on to say in verse 20, he says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." Paul says, when I was crucified with Christ, I didn't die, but I came to life. Christ died on the cross in order that I might die to sin and live unto God. Isn't that beautiful? And so Paul says here that having died to the law and being crucified with Christ, Christ now lives in him. He lives by faith now. So Paul makes here a most glorious declaration that he now lives in Christ and Christ lives in him. This is what it means to live unto God. For Christ to live in us, to dwell in our hearts by faith, and we to live in Christ. Because living to God means that we live in and by Jesus Christ. Our life is in Christ. And the strength that enables us to live by faith is found in Christ, who lives in us. So every believer who has faith in Christ has a real union and communion with Jesus Christ by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Christ is not only with us, He's in us. He dwells in our hearts by faith. He is our Emmanuel. God with us, and by the Spirit, God in us. And see, we live and grow as members of His body. He's in us, and we are in Him, and the power of our living by faith is on account of the grace that that He ministers to us by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. The power of our faith in Christ lies, therefore, in our union and communion with Him. And so Paul says, nevertheless, I live. Even though I've been crucified with Christ, yet I live. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Right? Our faith in Christ gives us a new world, a new venture. We see everything with the mind of Christ, because Christ lives in us. Now, this is what Jesus, of course, was teaching the disciples in John 15, when He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, does what? Bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Right? And so we abide in Christ. We have faith in Christ. We are united with Him. He lives in us, and we live in Him. And as Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, he says, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We're created in Him. We're renewed in Him. Right? We are in Him, and He is in us forever. And the life of faith, then, is a life of dependence upon Christ. A life of reliance upon Him dwelling in us. We are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. Right? So we can grieve the Spirit. We can grieve Christ. And that's why we're to live by faith. We are to live and move and have our being in Him and by His grace, because Christ dwells in us. Listen to what Calvin says. Calvin said this: as the soul enlivens the body with physical life, so Christ imparts spiritual life to all of His members by His grace. By His grace. And so the power of the Christian life is found in our union and communion with Christ and the operation of the Holy Spirit working in us. Paul says, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in us. Now, that's not an excuse to say, oh, Christ lives in me, then therefore, you know, and go on and sin. Not the case. If Christ lives in us, then our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us, and therefore we're exhorted to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, and to cultivate a life in the Spirit that is pleasing to God. Because we are daily being conformed into the image of Christ. We are being transformed into His image from glory to glory. We're taking on His characteristics because of our union and communion with Him. Hey, have you ever noticed that couples, when they get old together, they start looking, talking similar? They start taking on their similar personalities and things. As we grow in Christ, as we live by faith in Christ, we start taking on His characteristics. We're being conformed into His image from glory to glory, right? In 2 Corinthians 3:18, Paul says, we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Right? So how do we live by faith in Christ? Well, Christ lives in us by the Holy Spirit. Our union and communion with Him. That's why Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Right? Notice fifthly the principle of faith. That brings us to the fifth point. Paul says in verse 20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The life that we live in the flesh, we live by faith in Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. The life of faith is a living dependence upon Jesus Christ and following Him. And following Him in all of His ways is our Lord and Savior. Right? Living by faith means believing Christ, means following Christ, means adoring Him, honoring Him, and glorifying Him. Right? Living by faith, therefore, is living under the cross. Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. To be my disciple, we take up our cross. We die to sin. We learn to mortify the sinful members which are on earth. We learn to overcome sin. And we die to sin and we rise to newness of life. That's a daily struggle, right? But we know that Christ works in us to overcome sin. And so we believe. But we should always remember that the center of our faith is Jesus Christ. The center of our faith in Christ is His saving work on the cross. That Jesus loved us and gave Himself for us. Our faith, therefore, is in not our works. Our faith is not in our faith. Because sometimes our faith is weak. Our faith is in Christ, who is strong. Right? John Flavel said the soul is the life of the body. Faith is the life of the soul, and Christ is the life of faith. We live by faith in Jesus Christ. Right? To live by faith in Christ, we must look to Christ. Depend upon Christ. We cannot not just depend upon our works. We can't depend upon our faith. We must depend upon Christ. Right? Having been justified by faith, Paul says in Romans 5:2, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access into this grace in which we stand. How do we stand? How do we stand in God's grace? Because of Christ. And therefore, by faith in Christ, we look to Christ. We're always strengthened in faith when we look to Christ and not to ourselves. Luther said, faith in Christ is the key to God's favor and to Christ's holy presence in our life. We must therefore keep our faith strong to keep Christ near and with us. Because oftentimes our faith ebbs and flows, right? Sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. And oftentimes when we're down, it's because we're not keeping our faith in Christ. We're being distracted, either by the world or sometimes even by pride. And because of our obedience and good works and the great things that we've done, and we start depending on that instead of depending on Christ. See, we often forget the importance of living by faith in our daily lives, living in dependence upon Christ and Christ alone. Faith is not only the way to salvation, but also the way to keep Christ's presence in our life, to depend upon Jesus Christ, to know that He will be our guide, our protector, that He is our Lord and Savior, but He will lead us through the trials, through the battles. And so what are the evidences of living by faith on Christ? How do we know that we're depending on Christ and not on our former glories, as it were, our works? Well, we're depending on His grace. We're delighting in His presence. We're trusting in His providence. We're honoring His name. We're submitting to His word. We're laboring for His kingdom. And we're suffering for His truth. All those show that we're living by faith in Him. Right? Faith is the key. And the key to faith is Christ. And so we're dependent upon Jesus Christ. Well, notice, sixthly, the premise of faith. Notice Paul goes on to say, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Notice closely here, Paul says that his faith is grounded upon Christ's redeeming love. Right? Revealed at the cross. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and He gave Himself for me. Now, notice the ground and basis of our faith is in Christ and in His work. What He accomplished. Right? Christ loved us and He gave Himself for us. That's how we live by faith. We keep Christ and His cross in our thoughts, in our minds. That He died for our sins on the cross and He suffered and bled and died for us by His love. Right? Now, we can see, as Paul says here, He loved me and gave Himself for me. That's an excellent passage to keep in our hearts and memories, because there's two most wonderful things that Paul speaks of here. First of all, Christ's love for us. Notice he says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Paul says, Jesus loves me. I think this is where you get the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little children's song. Paul says, this I know. Jesus loved me. And this is the strength of our faith, that Christ loved us. He loved us. And having loved us, He will love us still. How do we know that He loved us? He gave His life for us. Ephesians 5, Paul says, Christ also loved us and gave Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. You see, Christ loved us, and in loving us, gave Himself for us. An offering for sin to pay our debt to God, to redeem us from all iniquity. That's how we know He loved us, because we see it at the cross. Christ's sacrificial death for us. That's where we see Christ's love, and that is how we live by faith, right? It's not just we come to faith in Christ and we believe in the cross. No, we live by faith. We keep the cross in front of us. We keep Christ's redeeming love in front of us. That's how we live by faith. Paul says here that the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was the price of our redemption, right? As well as the way in which we live by faith unto God. Christ purchased our salvation by the blood of His cross, right? keep in mind here, notice Paul is saying that the atonement of Christ was vicarious. Jesus paid the price. His sacrifice was a propitiation for our sins, according to the Scriptures, to satisfy the justice and wrath of God. How do we live by faith? We keep in mind, in our memory, that Christ paid the debt and satisfied sin at the cross. Right? 1 Corinthians 15:3 says Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. In Galatians 1:4, Paul says Christ gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil age. 1 Peter 3:18 says that Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And 1 John 3:16 says He laid down His life for us. Now, there are a lot of passages in Scripture. It's over and over testimony that says Jesus loved us. He died on the cross for us. Keep this in your heart and mind, because this is the power of living by faith. We have to have this in our mind always. Otherwise, you go through doubts and struggles. When you're going through temptations and trials, when you're going through bad times, it's not thinking about your experience and your circumstances that counts. What counts is thinking about the cross, what Christ has done for you. He laid down His life for us. Think about the cross. Right? Because we are destined to suffer. We're destined to go through trials. And it's important that Paul says that, he says, this is how you live by faith in Christ. By remembering, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Now, notice I want to bring to your attention the Greek preposition which Paul uses here, huper, is of particular significance because it means in behalf of, for the benefit of. It recalls the Old Testament ordinance of the sin offering that was required to be offered to God in order to bring reconciliation to the people. You know, the Levitical offerings. It was required. It was mandatory. It was in behalf of the people. The offering for sin was made by the priest in order to take away the guilt of sin among the people. Right? And therefore, Paul is saying, I live by faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me as a sin offering. You see, Paul is saying he not only gave Himself to pay the debt of sin, but it was for me. It was for me. There's a very personal thing. You know, we like that wonderful quote from Matthew Henry. When we behold the cross and see what manner of death that Christ died, we may in that behold with what manner of love that He loved. Right? From the cross, we see all of the love of God. But we see God's love for me. You see, Paul is saying to live by faith, you not only say that Christ died, He loved the world. No, but He loved me. And He gave Himself for me. You see Paul's personal confession of faith. That's the premise of faith. That's how we live by faith. Not only Christ died for others, for His church, but that He died for me. You see, Christ's suffering and death on the cross, not a human tragedy. It's not an accident. No, He voluntarily submitted Himself to the will of the Father in obedience to the cross to pay the penalty of our sins, to redeem us from sin. And so His sacrifice is a display of love. Not only an example of an obedience, but a sacrifice for sin. Christ gave Himself a sacrifice for sin. And therefore, Paul says, for me, He loved me and He gave Himself for me. Notice Paul here expresses his personal devotion and his trust in the saving work of Christ. You see, it's not enough just to acknowledge Christ to be the Savior of the world. To live by faith in Christ daily, we must also experience, right, the fruits of Christ's death and resurrection in our own hearts. And say with Paul, He loved me and gave Himself for me. And I'm going to get through this. I'm going to live by faith and remember that Christ loved me and He gave Himself for me. That's what it means to live by faith. Just as the Song of Solomon, the bride says, I am His and He is mine. He feeds among the lilies. Just think about it in the terms of marriage, right? Marriage. Husbands and wives show their trust, their love, their affection. And when that was sealed at the marriage ceremony, right? Till death do us part, right? That's how it is. That's the gospel here. Paul says He loved me and gave Himself for me at the cross. I am sealed to the day of redemption. Right? Thomas Brooks said this, "True and living faith wraps itself in the righteousness of Jesus Christ delivered to death for us." Jesus was delivered to death for us. And we're living by faith in Christ when we say, "He loved me and gave himself for me." He was delivered to death for me. Not just for you, not just for his elect people, for me. Right? The hymn says, "Thy life was given for me, thy blood, O Lord, was shed, that I might ransom be and quickened from the dead." That is the ground and basis of living by faith in Jesus Christ, saying Christ loved me and gave himself for me. Well, notice, seventhly, the polemic of living by faith. There's always an argument here. Right? Notice, finally, Paul says in verse 21, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain." Notice here in this last verse, Paul concludes his argument in defense of the doctrine of justification by faith, that he says he's upholding the grace of God and the saving work of Christ. Right? He's avoiding, he's reproving, confuting the Judaizers for their heresy by subverting the grace of God in Christ's death. Right? Not valuing Christ's atonement, because faith alone in Christ is there the only way to truly live unto God. You can't add works. You can't add personal merit. You can't add circumcision. You can't add the law of Moses. Notice the expression that Paul uses here in showing the dreadful evil that is in those who by their ingratitude despise the grace of God and the saving work of Christ. They're not living by faith in Christ. They're trusting in themselves. See, the point here is that those who live by faith know that salvation is by grace, not by the works of the law. Right? "I do not frustrate the grace of God," Paul says. "If righteousness came by the law, then Christ died in vain." Those who subvert the gospel and deny justification by faith alone in Christ treat the atonement that Christ made with contempt and only frustrate and deny the grace of God. Right? Paul says in Ephesians 2, "By grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." Right? And so living by faith means we rejoice in the grace of God. We live by faith in Christ, we rejoice in the grace of God. Paul says, "I do not distort or frustrate the grace of God." Right? Now, the Greek word that Paul uses here means to render ineffective, right? Inoperable. In saying this, Paul is charging the Judaizers with the heinous offense of despising the grace of God. To seek to be justified by the works of the law is to reject the grace of God. It's to reject the plan of salvation. Is to reject the exceeding riches of God's saving mercy. Those who are not satisfied with Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for our salvation, well, they're despisers of grace, right? Because if we do not renounce all other hopes of salvation and embrace Jesus Christ and live by faith in him, well, hey, we're not trusting in the grace of God and we're not living by faith. Living by faith in Jesus Christ means we're rejoicing in grace. We're rejoicing in grace knowing that grace leads us to righteousness. Grace leads us to be the servants of God. Grace leads us, right, not to a performance mentality, but leads us to thanksgiving and to a life pleasing to God, right? That's what it means to live by faith. We know the truth of the gospel. We rejoice in the grace of God. And so we live by faith in Christ. And so living by faith means also that we prize Christ's saving work. He says, notice Paul says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, well then Christ died in vain." But Christ was crucified for our sins that we might be saved by grace and that we might live through him. We don't live through the law. We live by faith in Christ. And deny faith is to deny not only the grace of God, but the virtue, the value, and the necessity of Christ's death on the cross. If we're saved not by faith, but by works, well, what was the purpose of Christ dying? What was the purpose of the cross? What was the purpose of all of his life and obedience, his sacrifice, and his redeeming work? Well, then it's of no value. If salvation is by the works of the law, well, then what was the need for Christ to come? You see, Christ's sacrifice, Christ's atonement, the propitiation that he made for sins, not only exalts the grace of God, that is the basis of living by faith, right? And so those who reject justification by faith alone in Christ, they reject the atonement of Christ, the purpose for which he came. Living by faith in Christ means living in recognition of the value the necessity, the greatness of the cross. We extol the cross. We lift high the cross. We glory in the cross of Jesus Christ. In Galatians 6, at the end of Paul's letter, he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I unto the world. God forbid that we should glory save in the cross. You see, faith lays hold of Christ and gives glory to God, rejoicing in the cross and in the cross of Christ alone. Listen to Calvin said this, if the death of Christ be our redemption, then we were captives. If it be a satisfaction, well, we were debtors. If it be an atonement, we were guilty. If it be a cleansing, well, we were filthy and unclean. And therefore, he who ascribes to works any part of his redemption, pardon, atonement, righteousness, sanctification, or deliverance, destroys the grace of God and makes void the death of Christ. That's why Paul says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, well, Christ died in vain. Beloved, living by faith means we rejoice in the grace of God. We rejoice in the cross. We see its inevitable value, its incomparable worth, its necessity that Christ died for sin. And so every believer knows that we're not saved by works, but by Christ. We put our faith in Christ and His saving work. He that lives by faith, therefore, defends the gospel of grace and the glory of the cross, and sees in the cross our only hope. That's what it means to live by faith, right? Faith is the key to the Christian life. We're not only saved by faith in Christ, but we live by faith. Right? We live by faith. Saving faith is the key, therefore, to heaven. And it is the first principle of the Christian life. And so how do we know that we are living by faith? How can we make trial of our faith, that is, to be sure that it is real? How do we know we're living by faith in Christ? When we have made a simple and sincere profession of faith in Christ as our Savior. When we have no confidence in the flesh and can say with Paul that we are dead to the law. When we know in our hearts that Jesus Christ died and rose again for us and our righteousness is found in Him alone. And when we can say, as Paul says here, that indeed Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. When we can rejoice in the grace of God and confidently say that we do not frustrate the grace of God. Right? We don't frustrate the grace of God. We are living by faith when we keep the cross of Christ in our hearts and minds and remember that it is the ground of all of our hopes. And to live for the glory of God out of thankfulness for what Christ has done for us. That's what it means to live by faith in Jesus Christ. Paul says, I, through the law, died to the law that I might live unto God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ died in vain. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bless you and thank you for your great love and mercy to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. We thank you that by His death and resurrection, we live unto you by faith in Him. We put all of our trust and faith in Him alone because of what He accomplished for us at the cross. His death and resurrection is all the ground of our hope and righteousness. And we live now by faith in Him and trust Him. We put our faith, our confession, all of our hopes, and have no confidence in the flesh. We are dead to the law so that we might live unto you, having been crucified with Christ, that we might rise to newness of life and live for your glory and praise. We pray, Father, that you would sanctify our hearts, bless us, and strengthen us always to remember that we can with Paul say, Christ loved me and gave Himself for me. All for the praise and the glory of your name through Christ our Lord. Amen.